Ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the
Wheel of Misfortune.
Okay, we missed out on it yesterday. Bobby Webster was calling in. So, you know, certain guys willing to pick up the phone and call in, then we're willing to make an adjustment. And
by the way, in the future, we got to, like, I love Bobby Webster's. I love the GMs, but, like, let's be honest, Hayes. They don't give you anything. Like,
it's not a lot. It's not a lot of information.
We got to forget about saying we're stopping the phone lines or anything. Like, it's nothing. Like, a fan could give the same answer. Like, it's...
Well, I mean... Yeah, maybe it gives you a nugget here or two. I mean,
dude,
we started the conversation by asking him who he's taking at fourth. You know, like that's how it went down.
That may not have helped.
All right, this is a
well. But you know. The thing is, you're trying to we're getting a guy like Bobby on or Kyle or Ross. Yeah. You try to get their reaction to things. They're not going to give you the information, and they don't know who they're taking at four right now. They don't know who's going 1, 2, 3, let alone who's going to be there at four and what they're going to do. He's obviously not going to give that answer.
And Bobby's a good guy. Kyle's like, they have a little fun and we'll joke around. That's about all you get out of the interview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
because they don't want to cause a headline, and you can't blame them for that.
It's more so when it's a positive story, right. And that's what that was. You know, there's... only so much you're going to get, and there's so many. Yeah, you know, we tried to ask him about Kyle. He's not going to say guaranteed.
We're
to
looking
sign
into
Lowry.
Kyle. He knows how important he is. That was
yeah.
His answer.
There's not going to be much more than that. But when you, this is why I was disappointed Dubas wouldn't come on after they lost, because then you can actually ask him real stuff where you got to get an answer. Like he can't just spit off, you know, nothing.
Right.
He's got to give you an answer. What happened? You know, what do you make of this? And he didn't come on, so you know we'll get to. He'll be on at some point in the future. And guess what we're going to do.
Well,
talk about
that.
Exactly. That's what we're going to be talking about.
Well, we'll revisit about, but he may have a key signing or a key trade where you're like, oh, let's talk about the trade. And then you circle back to it.
Absolutely.
But we're going to talk to Kyle. We'll talk to Bobby. We'll talk to everybody. Whoever wants to come on from Toronto Sports Scene, we're having him on.
That's right, Noodles. There you go. Doors are always open.
Doors are always open.
Wheel of Misfortune. Let's play. Let's spin the wheel. Let's see what we're playing on a Thursday afternoon.
I will play George Costanza. I can do it. I know I can.
Oh, okay. This is a little bit different. You guys probably aren't familiar with this.
I'm like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, this is, well, so we're going to play the role play, but it's not role play level of concern, all right?
Oh,
so
God.
This is what we did a few weeks ago. We're changing things up. Everything's going to be a little bit different.
Right.
And we figured we'd spice it up a little bit. It's the end of June.
Right.
Right? We're all excited. Are we excited for this or what?
So what is it? Role play level of concern?
It's just role play. We're all going to be associated a person. We're all going to be given a person, and we have to answer a question based on being that person. It's not that
complicated. If I don't like the person, I'm hitting skip.
Okay, well, you're not going to like this one because you're Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball. You're Bobby Manns, your boy. All right.
I'll tell you what. Don't ask me to explain this like I have a brain.
Well,
go ahead, Bobby Manns.
Have you made
Bobby
a mistake
Manns?
With all this sticky stuff process? Like the whole scene that we're seeing in baseball, is this not on you,
yes.
Bobby Manns? Or
no,
what?
I will admit I am Bobby Manns, and I am also a dummy. I don't know. I think it might have been a caller on Overdrive said, you got to let the season play out. We're halfway through. Meet about it after the season. Meet with the players, meet with the owners, meet with the GMs, and then you come up with a game plan to deal with this sticky stuff. The players have come out and said, we don't want somebody getting hurt. One guy claimed he blew out his shoulder because he wasn't using the sticky stuff. So you're not going to make anybody happy, but they should have let the season play out and said, next season, this is just not happening. To start the season and have guys gearing down, walking off the mound, it's an embarrassment, and it's just a little bit shy of a more the same level of embarrassment as how you handle the Houston Astros.
Yeah, don't forget who you are. You're having an identity crisis over there.
I am a donkey.
I don't know who you think you are.
Bob
Manfred is. All right, I like it. Noodles, you are Peter DeBoer. You were trying to put forth a front as if you're very confident tonight. It's all good. So what makes you so confident that you're going to win tonight?
Well, I think that they won last game. or I won last game. We did, me and my team.
Yes.
Won game four in Montreal in a hostile environment. And I had kahunas like Steel. And I went with my other goalie, who hadn't started in a month, and his last game was a 7-1 drubbing. So that's where I give the confidence, is I'm giving my team a different look, and I'm not going to be shy to go into the room and give the old cattle prod to a couple players and see if they'll respond for me.
Yeah, well, you better hope for it, man. Like, Mark Stone, he is going to have to explain himself after this series if he doesn't do something tonight, and in Game 7, for that matter. The Carlson line, I mean, the right. Power play. You got a lot of fires that you're trying to put out tonight at the Bell Center. Okay, I like it. Hayes, I am Cade Cunningham.
Ooh.
Rick Cunningham.
Rick Cunningham.
Cunningham.
Are you actually happy that you'll be going first overall with the Pistons having the pick?
No.
Be honest with you guys? This is just between the three of us, right? No one else is listening.
Rick.
No one else in the room. I am
Rick
Cunningham.
Detroit long. Yes,
I'm furious because all they do is suck. You know, they won in 04. They won the title. Good for them. The past decade, give or take, has been a mess. Really, since them winning in 04, what are the Pistons known for? You know, what have they been known for? And, you know, I like Dwayne Casey.
Stands.
I've heard good things about Dwayne Casey. I hear he's a great guy. And I'm looking forward to seeing Dwayne Casey and working with Dwayne Casey as the head coach. But Detroit, it's just not a flashy town. It's a team that has really been driven into the ground the past decade, and there aren't any great players there waiting for me. So, no, if I'm being honest, it'll be a proud moment first overall in a draft. That's obviously something every kid dreams of. I used to dream of it as Cade, a.k.a. Rick Cunningham, but I didn't want the Pistons to win. I wanted Houston to win.
What is the likelihood, Rick Cunningham, that you go back and look at some video in 1990 and you pull a Rick Cunningham Lindros move?
No, 0%. Not going to happen. That's not in my nature, you know. I think I know who that Lindros guy is. He was a lot better than I was. Like, I'm a good player, very good player. I'm not Lindros, LeBron, Anthony Davis, you know, Sidney Crosby. I'm not in that category. I'm a very good player. I will be happy to go first overall, but if I'm being honest, I'm not that ecstatic with the idea of going to Detroit. All right, moving on. Oh, you are Carey Price. What, if anything, can rattle your cage tonight?
Nothing, because I am so dialed in, and there was a host of a show in Toronto that says I haven't had that much work, or maybe it was a guy that called in. But I am the best player in the playoffs. And I said to management, and I said to Richard Molson, the owner of the team, it's time to win. I don't have much time left, and I am showing that I am ready to win a Stanley Cup. It's Jean-Philippe Baptiste, and it's go time.
Richard Molson.
I like it. All right. Carey Price, very happy, very excited about the game tonight.
Yeah, and I guarantee you he is the best player on the ice tonight. You watch.
Well, if
he is,
then Montreal's going to win. Wouldn't you think? I mean,
yes.
He could quite literally win the game by himself tonight. It's the nature of the position. That's what's terrifying if I'm in Vegas. And what is easing my emotions a little bit if I'm in Montreal.
Hayes, what if Vegas is like, okay, boys, let's get the offense cooking tonight. They do, and Price is out of his ass.
He made 43 saves of 45. Wasn't that in game 3?
Game 3
in Montreal.
They won game 3. They had no right to win game 3.
Right, and they should have won game 4. Like, actually, remember, it was reversed. Like, they shouldn't have won game 3. They should have won game 4, and Price stole game 3. I mean, that's the thing. It's a coin flip. I kind of feel like Montreal's going to do what they do, and we'll see if Vegas can have a response, because they've got to do something different to break through.
Like,
they really do.
An odd man rush, it's like impossible to conjure up if you're Vegas.
Right.
Like, it's amazing that Montreal is constantly in the right position, or furthermore is not turning over bad pucks.
Right.
Like, just the nature of an odd man rush, it's usually one of the two. Someone jumps, someone's out of position, or it's a bad turnover that goes the other way. And it just simply hasn't happened. Like, you would have to believe, just based on history and probability, something's giving tonight. Like, someone's going to get a breakaway in Vegas tonight, right? Like, it has to. And if you get it, you got to score. You have to score. You have to, because they're probably going to be few and far between. Noodles, you are your boy George Springer. You are George Springer. Much like we asked Cade Cunningham a few moments ago, be honest with us. Are you really that cool with hitting fifth in the lineup?
No.
Like, are you actually really a team guy? Like, yes, you're a team guy, but you'd rather be hitting first, right? Like, be honest.
If I'm George Springer, which I am, I want to be the man. That's why I was paid to be brought in and all of that money. And I want to earn it. First, I want to get healthy. And I want to be available to the guys night in and night out. And I know this is a scheduled day off. Still available to hit. But I think I'm a guy who wants to be a difference maker and show these young guys the path. So I'm going to do whatever it takes. Coming off injury, I'm going to say the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing. But when push comes to shove, I want to be the man. That's how I feel as George Springer.
That's right. Well, you got the biggest contract in franchise history. You are the man in terms of your paycheck.
Agreed.
And in terms of the World Series MVP, I mean, you got a lot going for you. And I think you and I both know, and Charlie and Montoya knows, everyone knows, it's a matter of time. You're going to get back into the one spot. All right, we'll wrap this party up with Brian Hayes as Lou Lamoriello.
Ooh.
And I think dressed appropriately for Lou. Feeling good, looking good, decent suit. How happy are you? Again, honesty we're looking for. How happy are you that the Leafs continue to fail without you while the Islanders continue to flourish? Well, let me answer this in a couple of different phrases.
I have a follow-up for Lou. So go ahead.
Okay. I was in the Hall of Fame before I even got to Toronto. I didn't need Toronto. I was already in the Hall of Fame before I got there. I've won three cups. I'm one of the great founders in the history of this game, one of the great architects in the history of this game. And I enjoyed my time in Toronto. Soto was great, working with Shanny, Babs, everyone included. We had good times. We had very good times. So you would think, with that being the case, that I'm above any pettiness. But you want to know the truth? I'm not above the pettiness. I love it. I love that I've been executive of the year twice. I love that my team is in the semifinals and going back to Tampa for Game 7, and the Leafs can't do anything. Can't do anything and haven't done anything ever since I left. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy. I wouldn't admit to it publicly, ever, but privately with you guys, sure.
Lou,
what's your
do you
follow-up?
Think you can win the GM of the year a third time in a row?
Why not? I don't know how I won it this year.
Yeah.
I don't know how you win it back-to-back years. What did I really do in between last season and this season? I don't know, but I'll take it. And sure, why not? I can tell you this. I'm going to win another one before Dubas wins one. I can give you that guarantee.
The thing is I believe it's voted on by other GMs in the playoffs, correct? And it's other GMs and some select media members. I don't know if you saw this. Kyle Dubas got a first-place vote. One. He got one vote out of all of this. He got one first-place vote. And the voting, I believe, happened after the first round of the playoffs.
Really? I saw that he got a vote. I didn't know the timing of when they all came in.
Don't they have their name attached to it?
Well, to me, that's a media member.
It could be. Although I thought Dubas, out of character now, Brian Hayes again, I thought he had a very successful year as the GM. Like I did. I think he made the right moves and he brought in good pieces and trade deadline. And, you know, I thought he did a good job. You go out in the first round. I don't know if he's the executive of the year. I probably wouldn't have voted him as a top three executive of the year. But as I've said countless times, if Lou won it last year, what did Lou do between, like, last year he brought in Trotz, I guess that was the year before. But they had made different moves and overcome adversity. I don't know how different his moves made this team compared to the team they had a year ago.
It might be that they lost their captain pretty early in the season, and he had some sneaky moves at the deadline, like a Paul Murray. Brought in Zajac, who scored some big goals here in the playoffs. I don't know. I don't know what the criteria
those
was.
Those two things don't scream executive of the year.
No, exactly. And if that was the case, and this timing, why wouldn't Julian Breezeball have won it last year? because right. Barkley Goodrow, Blake Coleman, right. you know, like he made the moves too. I don't know. Listen, Lou's had a great career. In all seriousness, Lou, again, what happened with the Leafs, it happened. He moved on. He got back on his feet really quickly, and he was in the Hall of Fame before he got to Toronto. He didn't need to take that job, just like he doesn't really need to be still working in the island in terms of his resume and in terms of his legacy.
Yeah.
But he's had a good run. I'm sure he's, you know, proud of the fact that he is where he is. I don't know if he holds any animosity. It doesn't seem like he's that kind of guy.
I don't think he would.
He's not the kind of guy that's like, oh, I don't wish good things on good people. Like, Dubas is not a guy that's anything but likable, you know?
Yeah.
He's a likable guy, and I think he and Lou work pretty well together. Shanahan worked pretty well with Lou. You know, we're joking around, but I think he's in a good spot. You can't argue that. He's done a really good job.
New York. I don't think there's any animosity. I don't think that's what he's like.
Doesn't seem like it. No.